Joy's having a good time.
Oh, wow. God is so good. Oh, Jason, if you can cue the video, just have it ready. Oh my gosh. We have so much to be joyful for this year. As a pastoral team, we were praying last November about the theme for 2011, and it's something that we always want to come before the Lord, because it's almost like He gives us a direction of where we're to go. And last year, we had an incredible theme of Love Compels, and we really felt that God wasn't done with us yet. You know, He wasn't done with loving. He wasn't done with us loving. In fact, He wanted us to take it to the next level, and it was almost like God was like, not only does love compel in around you and in with one another in the church, we really felt that God was compelling us with His love to not keep church within these four walls. How many of you are excited about that? You know, church is never meant to stay within four walls, right? And so our senior pastor, Steve Long, really felt the Lord giving us the scripture verse, Jeremiah 29. And if you want to turn with me to Jeremiah 29, verse 7. How many of you know that Jeremiah 29, verse 11 is a very famous verse, right? It's, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future, right? And we share that verse with one another to give each other encouragement. And so oftentimes we forget to read it in context. And the first part of Jeremiah 29 is all about God talking to His people who are currently in exile in Babylon. And He's saying, hey, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged that you're in exile. I have you there for a very specific reason and very specific purpose. How many of you know that this earth is not our final home? Right? This isn't home. But He's placed us here for a very specific purpose and a very specific reason. And Jeremiah 29 verse 7 says, and work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you. God is saying, I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. And there's so many different translations of it. And if you look on your card, it even says here, work for the success of your city. Pray to the Lord for your city. If it succeeds, you too will enjoy success. Amen. Amen. And so this year, we really felt the Lord giving us a thrust for each one of us here in Catch the Fire to be like, you know what? It is my prerogative as the son of God, as a daughter of God. It is my not only my duty, but my privilege to pray for the success and love our city and to pray for peace and to do what we can to show our city love, because as our city prospers, so do we. Amen. So we have these awesome shirts. We're going to show them off. Steve, would you like to stand and be our back of the shirt? Turn around, Steve. In the back of his shirt, it says, real people making a difference, right? How many of you know that we are real people who can make a huge difference because we have Holy Spirit living in us? How many of you know that? Ah! So how about we show the video, and then Sam has some exciting initiatives that he's going to share with us.
Each year, our pastors try to come up with a theme that we feel that the Lord is speaking to us for the coming year. And so as we enter 2011, we feel that God actually has spoken to us. And that process began in the summer, and then in October, our pastors were looking at a passage and we felt this is exactly what it is. We're a very unique church, where about 100 different nations are represented in our church. And two of every three adults were not born in Toronto, not born in Canada. And so Jeremiah, the prophet, in Jeremiah 29, had that same sort of challenge. He's speaking to people who find themselves in a country they weren't born in. And he encouraged those people to love the city that you're in. And he encouraged people, settle down, get your kids, let your kids be married, get involved, work. Basically, he was saying, love our city. This was Jeremiah's word to the people. Jeremiah 29, 7. Work for the success of your city. Pray to the Lord for your city. If it succeeds, you too will enjoy success. Our 2010 theme was Love Compels, and that was based on a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And really, Paul talked about three different things. He said, open your eyes, reach the lost, and show people Jesus. And so that really was our theme last year in terms of the different activities and special projects we did. the first big thing that we did was we brought a family from Pakistan over to Canada. This is a family at risk. They were in hiding for 5 years on a death list. We raised $20,000 to fly them over, and then we spent almost another $50,000 of getting an apartment, furnishing their apartment, buying them clothes. They came with nothing, and we've been able to provide them everything. Munir has a great job. He works on our staff. He's a wonderful guy, a great addition to our church. We've also done a number of community events. We've had different outreaches at seniors' residences and hospitals and things like that that many of our cell groups have done. And as a church, we've done a number of things. We had a family party in February, filled the building with carnival activities and had hundreds of people, hundreds of kids and families in the building. In October, we did 3 Hallelujah parties this year. First time for us to do 3. We had one in Mississauga, one in Newmarket, and one at the airport campus. The airport campus had 30 kids and adults that gave their lives to Jesus. Wonderful day. And we've also done missions. We've been going out to other nations. John and Carol have led trips. Sandra and I have led trips. Many of our pastors have led trips. We've had trips to Mozambique. We've had trips to Brazil. We've had trips to Norway, to England, to the Ukraine. God has used our people all over the world. We've had a great, great time. For those of you that have been a part of a trip, thank you for doing that. For those of you who helped to provide the finances and gave to offerings for those kind of things, thank you so much. In Jeremiah 29:7, Jeremiah says to the people 2 things: work for the city, and he says pray for the city. And so we're relatively good at the praying part, and we are going to step up that as well. We're going to have some nights of prayer. We're going to have some focused prayer times to pray for our city. But the working part is something that I think is going to be really exciting. I'm looking forward to this. So the idea is that instead of us creating new charities and new initiatives, we're going to join other organizations, other charitable groups, whether they're Christian groups or non-Christian groups. We're going to infiltrate, as it were. We're going to just step up, and we will be the worker bees. We'll be the people that just help out. We've chosen 3 days already, one in the spring, one in the summer, one in the fall, where we're going to hope to have 500 to 1,000 people from our church to practically get involved. And we'll do things in Ajax. We'll do things in Newmarket. We'll do them in Mississauga, Brampton, and Toronto. We'll get a whole bunch of people involved in a community project, in a service project, and we're looking to infiltrate. We're looking to partner. And so we're hoping to just bless other charities, to partner with people, to get to know the other workers, to get to know the organizers, and to be a blessing to our city. Because Jeremiah says, if the city prospers, we prosper. I like that. There's also a spiritual component that we have for this next year. And primarily, we're going to do that through an organization called La Red. So we've already begun to have their character development program in our cells. And we're looking to start 300 cells at places of work in our city and begin to influence our city spiritually to bring character and integrity back into the workplace, back into government, back into education. I'm looking to be able to start a movement that's going to be influencing and changing our culture. We have a 4-step action plan that we'd like you to be involved in. Number 1, we have created a brand new website called loveourcity.ca. We'd like you to go there and go there often. We're hoping to be able to blitz our city, subway ads, City Hall links, United Way links, all sorts of different things, t-shirts and whatever, media stuff. We're hoping to get known in the city, and that people in our city, not just our church, but people in our city would go to this website, loveourcity.ca. and see all the different charities, all the different organizations that people can get involved with. That's 1. 2, we'd like you to get involved. We'd like you to choose one of the charities, preferably something in your neighborhood, something that you have a passion for. Get involved. Not just get involved once, get involved 2 or 3 times. 3, we'd like you to bring a friend. Bring your mom, bring your dad, bring your kids, bring your neighbors, get involved, bring your cell group. And 4, let us know what's happening. Take some pictures, take some video, report back, and we're going to put it onto the website. We're looking forward to just seeing what God's able to do through us as we love our city. When Jeremiah challenged the people of God, he said, friends, here's how it works. Love our city, and you do that by working for our city, by praying for our city. And he says, if you do this, there's a promise. If the city succeeds, you will succeed personally. And friends, I would like every single one of us to get involved. I'd like us to do something. I'd like us to serve our city, to pray for our city. Thank you so much for being a part of this. I know that God's going to be with us in this project. God bless you.
Yeah, amen. So, you know, as we're declaring success over the city, that means that we have to get out and be part of the city. And it's like, I love this house church here, like this place that we call home. This is our home church. We love this place, but there's so many people that just aren't here that don't know Jesus. And what we've been learning with Lared through these biblical principles that they call universal principles is just about loving people. And so this year, that's what we're going to do. We're going to practice getting outside of the church and going out and loving people. And it's like the song that was the background track is God of the City. And do you guys remember when Blue Tree was here like a couple months ago? So that was them. And we got to sit and have lunch with them as they were talking about where their heart was at when they wrote this song. And they were actually in Thailand and they had an opportunity to go out and just minister in the slums and how it changed their life and how they were able to change the city through that because people saw some white guys from Ireland coming in and making a difference with their hands. And so that's what a whole big component of our Love Our City is, making a difference with our hands. And so Ben Jackson, who's our creative services director, has done a great job putting these flyers and really branding a program that we can bring to the community that doesn't necessarily look like church, but really shows them how people can get involved, how you can love your neighbor. And so we're going to talk about some practical opportunities for that. Now, the first one is going to be a really big deal. And I'm not like the most exciting person in the world to talk about it, but this is something that's close to my heart because I think it's really cool. But remember when we had all the big inflatable things here last year and we had like 30 kids come to know Jesus and stuff like that? That was awesome, right? Yeah. Well, what if we could have 20,000 people that we had access to? Would that not be just that much more amazing? Well, God has all opened the door for us to have an opportunity to be the title sponsor of Kids Fest Toronto, taking place at the International Center in Mississauga. And so the way this is going to go is Love Our City is going to be the primary sponsor. So it's going to be Love Our City Kids Fest 2011. There's going to be a huge marketing and media campaign, but what they need is over 150 volunteers to run the rides. So how amazing is it that our church and people wearing Love Our City shirts are going to be those volunteers? We're going to have people coming from Ajax, Brampton, Mississauga, as far away as Hamilton come to this event because it's just extravagant. Nintendo is the number two sponsor after Love Our City. And so they're going to be bringing huge TVs. They're going to have the biggest Nintendo Wii launch that they've had in Canadian history because they're launching the new next Wii kind of thing. And it's more geared for younger kids. And so people are going to be coming by the thousands to see this. It's going to be interactive, and we're going to be there. And so that's going to be really exciting.
We're going to also have the largest space in terms of booth space at the International Convention Center, where we're going to have dream interpretation, we're going to have prophetic words, we're going to have healing tents, we're going to have all of that, and we want every single one of you to be involved. If you're like, hey, I don't think I can help with the bouncy castle, but I can sure as heck pray for someone's hurting knee, you're in, you know? If, you know, you're saying, hey, I want to be there and I want to help in any way I can, that it's for every single one of us. Not one of us is excluded from this.
And there's a lot of people that have kids. And the cool thing about this Kids Fest is that we're paying for everybody to get in for free, right? So it's absolutely
free.
Now, one of the hooks is that the rides are like $2 because they're pretty big rides. But kids pay $2. Parents get to ride free. So for parents and grandparents, we want everybody to just come out and have a great time.
And so this is only one of the few initiatives that are happening. We have initiatives coming up that's hopefully going to be involving this Sky Dome or the Rogers Center. And there's so many things happening this year. And we just want to get each one of us as a body excited. Because guess what? Those who need Jesus are not in this building. Right? Those who need the love of God are out there, and the chances of them finding us here are very, very, very slim. And so what God has called us to do is be his hands and feet and meet them there. Brendan Manning, amen. Yeah, let's give God a hand for that. Amen. Amen.
So like Steve talked about this card a little bit, I really want to encourage you to pick up these cards that say Love Our City. Because like when Linda and I were chatting about them, it's kind of like a pay it forward card. You know, it's like you're saying, hey, I shoveled your sidewalk or I shoveled your driveway because I love you and I love Toronto. And here's some more ways on the back, how it has our website. Here's some ways that you can love Toronto as well. Yeah. And so what we're really doing is we're encouraging that community. We're encouraging people to love Toronto.
Amen.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool, isn't it?
Amen. So how about we have our Pastor Steve come up, and Sandra, would you like to come up as well? And Steve has an amazing message to go along with this, but we're excited to hear what God has to say.
It's going to be very, very cool. One of the things that Sam didn't tell you about was because we're the title sponsor, they're actually going to give us a free, private, three-hour time. And so, like, last year on Family Day, which is February, we had approximately 300 people here. About 75 non-Christian people came to our event. And instead of us doing a private thing here, we can do a private thing there. And they're letting us invite 1,500 people to a private party. So here's who we're planning to invite. We're planning to invite all the families of our congregations to go, and we're going to be seating an audience of 1,500 people. We're planning to contact Social Services Toronto, and every family on social assistance in Etobicoke, Mississauga, and Brampton is going to get a free invite to the private party. At the private party, we can do stuff that we can't do at the other party, at the other event. And so, like, we're probably going to have a kids entertainer like we had, when did we have the last entertainer? At the Hallelujah party. And we have a kids specialist that juggles, that does clown stuff, that does whatever. They're going to be able to be at the event during the day and on a stage area. But on the stage area, they can't say anything about Jesus. That's okay, because what they're going to do is get all the kids coming to see them, and they're going to say, I'm going to be for the next half hour over at the Love Your City booth area, and that's when they can talk about Jesus in our booth space. And so there's no stopping us present the gospel. But at our private party with 1,500 people, we can go crazy. So for about the same amount of dollars, we spent $8,000 on bouncy balloons and, not balloons, bouncy castles.
That would be really
all
nice.
Those kind of things. Bouncy balloons? That's for exercising, isn't it?
I know, but it'd be good.
We spent about $8,000 last year to do that. For $10,000, Sam has negotiated for us to influence 20,000 to 30,000 people. Isn't that amazing? So I'm very, very excited about that. Where's John Jeffkins? John, stand up. He's usually sitting over here. John, stand up. John is an executive in charge of marketing with the Heart and Stroke Foundation. And one of the things that we're talking about, it's not finalized, but we're talking about, is they do a large event where they close down the Don Valley Parkway every August? June? June. And they close it down, and you can ride your bike and sponsor people to ride on the Don Valley Parkway on your bicycle and raise money. Heard of that?
Yes.
Well, guess who we're hoping to be the volunteers wearing our t-shirts to run everything? Everywhere you'd go, all the TV sponsorship, it's going to see Love Our City, Love Our City, Love Our City, Love Our City. And it costs us nothing. And John, because of his connection, he's the head marketing guru there. Guru, is that a good term? That's not a good term. The head marketing guy. so he runs, he's the one that's really organizing that cycle on the Down Valley Parkway. That's another kind of thing that we're looking to do. So we're having a whole bunch of creative ideas. One of them is to go to Center Island and take over the kids' ride area. And for us to do face painting and dream interpretation and do all of the spiritual stuff that we're really good at. We just had a whole bunch of people at a psychic fair in Toronto probably about a month ago, and hundreds of people are impacted, healed, saved, all that kind of stuff. So that's what we do best. The preaching stuff is good, but the changing someone's life right there by giving them a word, interpreting their dream, that's where we get them, folks. We are so good at doing that kind of stuff. We're going to have a training day the end of January. Is Yari here this morning? Yari usually sits over here. Yari is Finnish. I didn't see him this morning. So Yari specializes in this. He works for Youth with a Mission, and his primary role with Youth for a Mission is to train people for New Age fairs. And they go in and do all the supernatural stuff. And so Yari's going to be having a training time. And we're hoping to have a couple hundred of you that are going to be on the dream team, the prophetic team, the healing team for those kind of events. Sounds good? Sandra, what do you feel?
Well, I was just going to say...
Sandra's voice is almost gone, by the way.
It's good.
Much screaming on New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, yeah. I was talking to a lady this morning, and she came to me a few weeks... Well, actually, probably just under a month ago. And one of the things that she does, she said, Pastor Sandra, what I'd like to do is I go into shelters in the city, and I would love to be able to bring shoes in. And so again, we were talking about that. So, I mean, I know that there's a lot of you out there that are involved in areas in the city of Toronto, and then there's a lot of you that would love to even help out with something like that. And so I'm going to be talking to her a little bit more, and if you're even interested in going into shelters with her, and you know, bringing in food, bringing in shelters, bringing in hope, bringing in life, because you know, when the presence of God is in you, there's a light inside of you, and it steps into the darkness, and the darkness dispels, and that's what we're about. That's what, you know what, Pastor John Arnott spoke to us on December 19th, and he said, and he just turned 70 years old, and he felt that God said that in his lifetime that Jesus would come back. Well, we don't have much time. He's 70. You know, I mean, I don't know how long God is going to give him, but I'm praying for many, many years. But we have an opportunity to go out there and influence. So, I mean, we want you to be calling us and saying, hey, you know what, I'm involved in this area in the city. And it's not that Stephen and I or Sam and Linda are going to do it, but we just want to be able to put that on our website. So if you've got ideas, phone the office, talk to Sam or Linda Dumpkin, and they would love to be able to help you with this process.
Good. We'd like to bring Joyce up. Come on up, Joyce.
She was the one that was going, woohoo!
She was the laugher. She was the joy girl while we were in that last song. This is Joyce's last Sunday with us, unfortunately. Well, not that it's going to be her last Sunday, but it's her. She's getting ready to move, and she's moving to Stratford, Ontario, so she's going to hang out
London,
with...
London, Ontario.
Is it London? Okay. Yeah.
But Joyce was the head of the prophetic team we've taken a break. We took a break in the last year, and we've had a new team come in, but Joyce has been with us for how long, Joyce? How long have you been at this? Do you remember? No, she doesn't remember. But she's been with us for many, many years and has just served us and with her giftings and abilities and loved on us and supported us. And we've been able to do that for you. And it really just is our privilege, you know, to honor you today and to thank you for all that you've done here, all that you've been a part of. And the key thing about our church is anybody that leaves, I always say this is always your home. You're always welcome back. You know, it's never about, oh, you're going to another church, don't come back here, you know. But it's like when we see you and you walk in the door, we're going to go, Joyce, welcome home. We're just so happy that you're here. But Joyce, just a couple of minutes, what do you want to say?
I think I said it all right there on the floor. I've been here a long time because I used to sneak here from my other church. And just sort of be a dual. And then, you know, my son was brilliant one year, and he said, you go here so much, why don't you just be here and don't go to the other church anymore? And what I do want to say, could I just say this quickly? Over Christmas and over New Year's, I was listening to the music that I listened to when I first started coming here, from Bob Fitz and Brian Dorkson. And I heard something really, really tender and healing in it, and I've been crying all over Christmas and New Year's, because I just really feel like that which I got at the beginning and that so many of us got at the beginning, that tenderness, that healing, that gentleness, I feel like God, he's coming back to do that again. But he's saying, I've done this for you, and he's saying to us, let's go get him. Let's go get him, you know. I listened to Bruxy Cavey on the online, and he was saying God wants to do something. He says, who's going to do it with me? And I really feel like he's saying that when you said about, you know, Jesus coming back soon, I just really feel that. And it's not so, it's about him. How long has he been waiting and waiting? I have to have my bride. I have to have my people. It's about him getting his inheritance, I need to look at you. I don't know why, I'm just looking at you. Can I speak over her? No, her, Evelyn. Evelyn, there's such a light just shining on you. I just feel like the bowls of heaven that have collected all your tears, all those prayers are going to be poured out. And the Lord is just pouring them out, and he's coming, he's wrapping his arms around you and everything that you have prayed for and longed for and desired for, because you have been all about him. He says, I'm going to show you that I am all about you. And I see him with you like this, tucked right here, and you're going to so enjoy his reward and his recompense, and you're just going to be with him, and he's going to be sharing things with you, sharing strategies, and you're just, because you're one of the one that says, yeah, let's go get him, Jesus. Let's go get him, Jesus. And just be at peace, because it's all taken care of. Everything is taken care of.
Actually, I think that's a word for many of you in this room.
Thank you. I couldn't resist doing that. That's so much fun. Yes. But what I do want to say, and, you know, this is, the Lord sets the lonely in a family, and that's what he did for me here. He set me in a family. I am part of a big family, but somehow he put me here, and this has been my family, and in family, you see your yucky things, and you see some really good things, and you tick each other off, and you love each other, and yet in the whole thing, you know that God is Father, and I just, so much, he's accelerated my healing here big time, big time. There have been things that I have carried that only a few of you know about. There have been personal illnesses that I've endured that only a few of you have known about, but I was sharing with my friend yesterday that, he's accelerating it. He's accelerating it to the point where there's no shame. There's no shame to say there's been bad bouts of depression. There's been bad bouts of anxiety disorders and stuff. But he's healing it. He's healing it. And so one of the first things he said to me when I was here, he said, you're going to go out and comfort those who suffer with the comfort you've been given. And so when I said yes to going to London and yes to leaving behind a regular paycheck and starting a new job, I'm starting to walk into prophetic words that I got when I first came here. Steve Witt said to me when I first came here, I see creativity over you, I see you networking with other people, and I see you in a business venture. And I thought, oh, you are so wrong. You got her. But I kept it on the back shelf, and now that's what I'm doing. I am starting my own business, and dear God, pray for me. I know Sandra's taking the mic because I love to talk. But the last thing I wanted to say is that my routine is here. And to say yes to somewhere else means saying goodbye here. But I'll probably be here so much that you won't notice it, but I'll notice it. And when I said to Jeremy, I'm moving to London, he's so sweet. He's so fatherly, and he was so caring, and then he said, wait a minute, are you moving to London, England, or London, Ontario? London, Ontario. And he said, oh, brother. And he just walked away from me. So, but you know what? I love you guys. I really, really love you guys. And this is my family. There's just too many brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles.
So, Joyce, how about you go down here and let your friends come and lay hands on you? Would that be all right?
And by the way, Steve does a really mean ABBA interpretation. That's my favorite memory of you, Steve.
I, for large donations to our church, I could probably do that again. If you'd like to come and pray for Joyce, come on up to the front. Father, we're commissioning this amazing lady and asking, Father, that you would go with her. And all the promises that you have for us, Daddy, we just say, would you pass them on to Joyce as well? Be with her. She starts in a new house, a new job, a new city, new people. May your hand be on her. May she know that she's being led by the Spirit and guided by the Spirit in all that she does. Spirit of God, come. Holy Spirit, give her strength, give her hope, give her all the encouragement that she's ever going to need. And Father, we thank you for what she's sown into this church. And may it be multiplied through all those that she's influenced. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope you have your Bible open still to Jeremiah 29. If not, you can go back there. And we're going to talk this whole month about that passage that Linda and Sam read for us. And so today we're going to do an overview again of that passage. Linda already stole some of my thunder in terms of the things we're going to talk about. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about Next Sunday, we're going to talk about the peace and prosperity in your city. The third Sunday, Linda Dumkin is going to be preaching on how do we pray for our city. And then the fourth Sunday of January, we're going to be having Mary Audrey Raycroft is going to be talking about the settling down. How do we get established? How do we establish ourselves and establish a presence where we are in the city? And then the fifth Sunday of January, because we have five Sundays this month, I've invited one of the apostolic leaders of our city to come and speak here. He's a Spanish pastor. He's been in the city, I think, for 28 years, and pastors the largest Spanish congregation in our city. He's a wonderful, wonderful brother, loves the Holy Spirit. Filippo Gonzalez is his name, and he's becoming one of my close buddies. And so if you're all right to have a fiery Guatemalan preacher, I think he's Guatemalan, Guatemala or Nicaragua, something like one of those Central American countries. So I'm looking forward to that last Sunday of the month when Felipe's here. I think you'll really enjoy that. Sandra and I are planning to have probably about every second to third month another pastor from a different cultural church in our city to come and give their vision of why they love our city. So we're going to have this theme all the way through the year and have guest speakers from our city, other churches, to come and be here. So I am just feeling the Holy Spirit all over this. I'm actually shaking on the inside today. I don't know if you can see me shaking. My hands are a little bit shaking as well. I just really feel that the Lord's heart is for us to love our city. And as Linda mentioned, we didn't feel that we were done with our theme last year, which is of Love Compels. We were just sort of starting to get some creativity and to hear from the Lord and some ideas. And when Sam was the first one who came to us and said, what about this, what about instead of doing stuff here for kids on the Family Day holiday in February, what if we were to partner with another group? And he said, there's a group at the International Center last year that had like 20,000 people at it. What if we were to go there and infiltrate them? And it's like, what do you mean infiltrate? And we began to think about it, and it's just like we have had amazing favor. The organizers from that group came over, Sam, about 3 weeks ago, just before Christmas, and met with, They came on a Sunday morning. They had a meeting with Sam and my son, John, who's heads up the marketing for our church, and were just absolutely blown away with all the things that we were willing to do to help their event be a success. They said, we need 150 volunteers. We said, we'll give you 200. What about we'll give you sound equipment. We'll bring in kids entertainers. We'll bring in clowns, because we got clowns in our church. I don't know if you know that, but we actually have professional clowns, not just clowns, but we have professional clowns in our church. And we can do all that kind of stuff. And they were absolutely blown away. And then they were so impressed that they wanted to see what our church was like and came on the Sunday that Sandra was scheduled to preach that we never got to. Remember that Sunday about two or three weeks ago where it's just the presence of God? And Sam was saying he's had another meeting with them. Oh, they came before? Oh, they came to check us out before? Okay, so that was their first impression, was Sandra's meeting. Okay, perfect, even better. Anyways, it's going to be amazing. And if you're not used to impacting people outside of these walls, get ready. Get ready. It is so easy to prophesy over someone, even if you're not a prophet. I'm not the best of the prophetic. I sneak in occasionally and get a word and don't even realize it usually when I get a word. I'm sort of like Jesus when he was talking to the woman at the well and said, go get your husband. I'm one of those kind of ones. He didn't realize that was a prophetic word. Oh, I'm not married. And it just sort of rolled out after that. That's the way I am, is I occasionally get stuff. But I know that when I'm with a non-Christian and they need to have a word, I get a word. It just comes to me. I was at the Tucker's Marketplace this last week on Thursday with some pastors from Erie, Pennsylvania. They were here for the Heavy Rain group, our Heavy Rain conference, which was amazing, by the way. Young adults, you need to watch some of the online stuff. Bruxy Cavey was great on Thursday night. Andrew Gazzaneo, our High Park campus pastor, amazing sermon on New Year's Eve. Amazing, amazing sermon. If you're going to watch one, that's probably the one to watch. Anyways, I was with these pastors at Tucker's Marketplace, and every waiter that was there was coming up to my table and says, thank you for praying for me the last time you were in. Thank you for, my back's much better now. And it was just like, our meal was interrupted by waiters. I go to the Mr. Greek opposite the Marriott Hotel on Carlingview. And I go in there, and the owner and his wife come and give me hugs at the door. Every waiter runs to me to get me to be in their section. Now, I tip well. That's part of it. But it just seems that when I'm with people outside of this building and have connections with them, God shows up. And pretty well every waiter at the Mr. Greek, and they're mostly, like, it's a Greek restaurant, but I think there's one token Greek girl that's a waiter. They're from Bangladesh, they're from India, they're Spanish, Polish, they're everything. The owner is from Bangladesh, and in February, I'm going to be going back to Bangladesh, and he's coming on our team. A Muslim is coming on my ministry trip. And it's like, so I, it's actually not my ministry trip. Some of you know Terry Bone. I'm joining Terry, but I'm the sort of the guest speaker on Terry's trip. And so Terry's organizing it, and Joe is coming with me. It's like, oh my goodness, to have a Muslim, how do we do this? To have a Muslim in an Islamic nation doing stuff that we're not really supposed to be doing, but he wants to be there to do it with us. Oh well, God will work it out. Alrighty, here's real quick this morning, just a number of different things for us. Does God love cities? Well, I think he does, because heaven's called the city. And creation started in the garden, but we're finishing up. We're going to be in a city. Cities are relatively new. In the 1800s, very, very few people lived in cities. Almost everybody was from a rural culture, a rural climate, as it were. And cities are very, very new, and the trend is definitely towards cities. And I personally think that one of the reasons why God is putting people in cities is to make evangelism so much easier. Where people are gathered together, like if we were in, let me just pick a little town. If we were in Leamington, our church was in Leamington. It would, to get this many people in a meeting, people would be driving for hours to come to a little town. And for us to be able to do big events, it would just be really, really hard to impact 20,000 people at a time or whatever. And God loves cities, and I think God is purposely putting people in cities so that the end times can really begin to happen. Let's talk about our city. How many of you live in the GTA? Hands up. That's probably most of us, right? So in the GTA, the actual city of Toronto in the GTA has been getting older, and has the population has been, it's not that it's going down, but it's just not going up as high as, say, Peel region is, or Vaughan, or the Durham region. Toronto is getting older. We have a higher percentage of seniors than any of the other areas. And the estimate is that by the year 2013, that about 25% of our city, the city of Toronto, will be seniors. So that's, I'm getting ready to join that group in a few years. Multiculturalism. Toronto is the most multicultural city in the world. And in Canada, 68% of Canadians live in cities. That we huddle together like penguins in the cold is what we do. And 96% of people who are visible minorities, new immigrants to Canada, 96% of new immigrants go to a city. They don't settle on farms like they used to in the 1800s and the early 1900s. The GTA has the highest amount of visible minorities in Canada, and as I said elsewhere, it's of any nation in the world. And 23% of new Canadians that come to Canada settle right in Toronto. 42% of them are in Ontario. Most of that 42 is in the GTA. And almost half of our city is now a visible minority. How many of you were born in Toronto? Can I get you to stand up if you were born in Toronto? Now, I want you to look at the colors of these people's faces. Other than David over here, wave your hand, David. Other than David, we're all white faces. There's a few. You're younger. But those of us that are older, this is, our city used to be white. You can sit down. The city of Toronto used to be white. White, English, white, French, English, I mean like English-speaking nations. It used to be Italian, like mainland, not Europe, how am I saying Europe? Not Eastern European, Western European. That's what Toronto used to be. And we are now just one of the very, very
blessed cities of the world of just lots of different distinctions. 200 different groups are in our city. Here's the different breakdowns. Those of you from South Asia, India, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, you've taken over. It used to be the Chinese were the biggest group in our city. No longer. I'm glad for that because I like curry a little bit better than I like Chinese. And the fastest growing group is the Latinos. This is all on the City of Toronto website, and it's all from the 2006 census. Largest cities in the world, Tokyo, Seoul, Mexico City, England, London, England is at number 18, and Toronto is the 50th largest city in the world. And in a few years, they're expected we're going to be almost 7.5 million people. This little slide shows the growth in the different areas, and so the different colors are Halton, Peel, York, and at the bottom is the City of Toronto and the population. So the GTA area is getting larger and larger. Number three reason why God loves cities is that he always has a message for them. And the message is consistent. As you look at the prophets who went to cities, the message is always God saying, turn to me. And so when Jonah was asked to go and speak to the city, Nineveh was the superpower. It was the New York City or the Washington, D.C. of its age. It was Moscow of the 80s. It was it's the Beijing of the 2020s. It was the superpower. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. This is now when he's in the city. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jesus overlooked the city of Jerusalem, knowing that in a few weeks he's going to be heading in, he's going to be crucified, his heart was for the city as well, and he calls out, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those who sent you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as hens gather her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. God's heart is always for groups of people to turn to him. And that's part of our mandate as a church, isn't it? Is to help other people who don't yet know Jesus to turn to him. And as Linda mentioned, the people who don't know Jesus generally don't attend church. That's not their place to be on a Sunday morning. They're in shopping malls. They're in their home sleeping. They're wherever, but they're not in buildings set aside for worship. And so part of our job is, well, then we got to go where they are. We got to be out there. And so there's sort of two strategies that we're having as a church. We're really wanting to have every single person to have godly character in your life. And so our cell groups have been going through some of the little red things, and we've been purposely using they have two versions of it. They have a version that has biblical references and uses biblical terms, and they have a version of it that's called the values-based one, where it's still the Word of God, but it doesn't say it like the Bible would say it. It uses secular words to describe biblical things. And we've been purposely using that version in our cell groups because we're wanting everyone to learn how to communicate God's truth in a language that your non-Christian friend understands, and to use words that they can grasp. And we're encouraging ourselves to do one more term, another 10 weeks from January until Easter, and we're going to be going through, the first series we went through was on courage topics. This next one is all about character topics. So we're going to be learning about restraint. We're going to be learning to watch our words, because the Bible says one bad word ruins everything. I don't know if you've had that happen in your life. That is my big one, is restraint. I say things before I think. Somehow my mouth is ahead of my brain. I don't know if anyone else is in that category, but it's like my brain needs to catch up a whole bunch of times. Either that or I need to have my wife stomping on my feet on a regular basis. Just shut up, quiet. Well, we want to have every person in our church know how to personally talk to another person about Jesus in words that they understand. And we want to then go and do events where we show up and it's a big deal and God's there. And we found that we can sneak in the back door of events and do prophetic stuff and do dream interpretation and do healing at psychic fairs and New Age shows, we found that we can see more people get saved at those events than we can in this building. And the supernatural is not confined to this building, to your cell group. The supernatural loves to show up at Tucker's Marketplace. Pretty well every restaurant in the area, because I'm a professional eater. I take people out for lunch, and the managers all know me. I show up, the waiters all know me, and I prayed for all of them, almost all of them. And I walk up, and I get great treatment. I just get preferential treatment. Part of it's because I've made a difference in their lives. And I know that the Holy Spirit is not embarrassed to show up. Well, and I'm praying for someone who's a waiter who's standing right there, and we're praying for them out loud, and other people hear that a prayer is going on. I don't close my eyes. I don't be religious. I just talk in words that they would be used to listening to, and God still shows up. People have fallen over in some of the restaurants we've been in. And you just say, hey, it's the Holy Spirit. And they all go, oh, yeah, 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 as if they know what they're... They just pretend, okay, it must be okay. Number four, God's word for us today is the same as it has always been. And so this is that Jeremiah passage. And I want you to look at it from the very beginning. So Linda picked up at verse 7, but here's how it begins. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. And as mentioned before, two of every three adults who are a part of any of our campuses were not born in Canada. Two of three adults were not born in Canada. So we're just like this. We're a whole bunch of exiles that find ourselves here. And we're not here by accident. God said, I put you here. This is where you're supposed to be. Verse 5, build houses. This is the word. Build houses and settle down. So when Mary Audrey in 3 weeks is going to do a whole series, not a whole series, a whole sermon on the getting planted, Mary Audrey, where you are. Isn't that what your topic is? Isn't that what your topic is? Maybe, sure. She said sure. Mary Audrey, that is your topic. You don't have to do it from this passage. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage. We found two wives for our two sons. Woohoo, we're there. Give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. My daughter-in-law is here, stand up, and she's about to have baby Long, grandbaby Long. Yay! Woohoo! Sandra and I are doing this. We're doing this well, Sandra. And we even have a garden at our house. We have a garden. We're good. Increase in number there and do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city. That's what we're going to talk about next week. For which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. That's what Linda's going to preach on in 2 weeks. Because if the city prospers, you too will prosper. So in the settling down, it has all these just very practical things that it talks about in those two verses. This is not hard. Any of us can do this, can't we? Settle down. Live like you belong is what we're talking about. Seeking peace and prosperity. Be a great neighbor. Get a job and serve God there. When you read the book of Ephesians and you read the book of Colossians, Paul says that your job is not a job, it's your ministry. Did you know that? Your job is a ministry. Is Lily here today? Filipino Lily that works in a coffee shop on Yonge Street. Oh, we are going to get her for Mary Audrey Sunday. Amazing, amazing lady. I'll just tell you, she was told by the Lord to go and to move to an area of Yonge Street in Toronto, was told by the Lord, move into that community. That's where your ministry is going to be. She got a job at a coffee shop, and she is the pastor for that area. Sandra and I walked in there by accident. We're just looking for a coffee shop when Jordan and Noelle were having their wedding. Having their reception. We got there early and we went into a coffee shop. We walk in and she goes, hi, Pastor Steve. Hi, Pastor Sandra. And her boss came over to us and was bragging about this is his best employee. And he doesn't know Jesus. And he's using words like, I don't know, there's just something about her that just attracts people to her. And everyone feels peaceful when they come into her presence. Everything goes smooth whenever she's here. It's called anointing. It's called favor, isn't it? And she's become the pastor of that community of the city by working in a coffee shop. You're going to, whoever knows Lily, tell her she's on in 3 weeks. Pray for the city. So wherever you are, like walking, jogging, driving, join some groups. Most of our cell groups have a time of prayer every week. And so if you're not in a cell group, join a cell group. Just begin to pray. Begin to speak blessings over people instead of cursing. Instead of grumbling and complaining, pray first and begin to change the culture. Last one, God has a reward for those who do what he says. And his reward is that prosperity comes to us if our city prospers. That sounds good to me. How many of you would like to be a little bit more prosperous? Now, generally, we're thinking finances. But it doesn't have to be just finances. It could be a wealth of relationships. It could be a wealth of great health. It could be a wealth of all sorts of different things that God's thinking about. So expect to be blessed and live like you're a blessed person. So blessed people are not cheap. They want to be a blessing. They want to be extravagant. So we just had Christmas, and we have a son, and John, that's out in the lobby with all the T-shirts, and his wife Melissa. They were married just over a year ago, and so they started our place for four nights, something like that, between Christmas and New Year's. And our son Chris from England came 4 days late because Heathrow was shut down, but he arrived with his wife, and they're staying at our house. And we got to be extravagant in our kids. We took them out for meals. We took them out to shopping, going shopping, and for the most part, we paid the bills. I love being able to pay the bills for my kids and my future grandkids. I love to do that kind of stuff because that's a statement to me, I'm a blessed person. I one of the greatest joys of my life, I was talking to Dr. Wood last week about this, and I was just saying one of the privileges of me growing up a little bit, I'm 53, changing the year, does that make me older? Not yet, okay. One of my growth things is when I was younger, I was looking to always get. I was always looking to receive. Friends, there is far more life in being a giver than there is being a receiver. It is, I don't know how to say it, other than it's a wonderful thing to be a giver and to live like you're a blessed person. If you think that you're not a blessed person, you're going to act like you're not a blessed person. And this, we're going to have a whole talk on this next week as well. Alrighty, stand up. I'd like you to get in a group of two or three. Find someone that you know. Find someone you don't know. And just get in a quick little group. And we're going to do two or three quick things here. I'd like you to go through the list that's there. And it's, you know what? If you're with a spouse, don't be in the same group as your spouse because you know their stuff. Don't be in the same group as your spouse. Get in a different group than your spouse. And I'd like you to go through this. And you have 1 minute each, 1 minute each to tell the people, where do you live? What kind of work are you involved in? Are you in school? 1 minute each to share that. Go. Tell people about yourself. What intersection in the city do you live on? What's your job? What school do you go to? And if you're able to stay for 5 more minutes, we've got a great verse that we want to pray over you that's not, we've not talked about yet. So just quickly share in your group. Talk about who you are. Don't pray yet, just talk. Where do you live? What do you do? Once you find out about the other person, now you can start to bless them. So two people, gang up on one of them. Put your hand on them and begin to bless them where they live and where they're active, in a school, in their job. Begin to speak blessing over them. Take 1 minute to pray for each person. If you're a newcomer and not used to praying, don't worry about it. The people beside you don't know that. So just fake it. Just pretend that you're a pro at praying. All you need to do is put your hand on them and speak something good. Begin to get God's thought for that person. Begin to ask God to use them on their street, at their school, at their place of work. Ask for the Holy Spirit to increase in their life, in their words, in their wisdom, in their actions. Ask God to come and be poured out in their life. So begin to pray for each other. Put your hand on someone's shoulder that's right there. Let me pray for those of you that are watching on Catch the Fire TV right now. So Father, everyone who's at home, everyone who's in their office right now, wherever you are, maybe watching on iPad or iPhone in a shopping mall, Father, would you bless and use every single one of us? Father, may 2011 be just an amazing year for God's favor, God's blessing, God's anointing to be on us in a greater way. And Father, I'm asking for boldness to come. I'm asking for courage to come, for people to grasp the opportunities that God is giving and to step out. And if you're a shy person, don't worry about that. Just to step out and trust the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be with you. Holy Spirit, would you come for every single one of us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, let me read a verse over you. One of our cell leaders gave this to me this morning. Listen to this from Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 12. It says this. This is God speaking to the people. It is a land, let's say Toronto, is a place the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on Toronto from the beginning of the year to the end. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Let me read it again. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. I'd like you just to close your eyes. Sandra and I, we're going to just pray for you and speak a blessing over you. If you're beside someone, maybe even just grab their hand. Father, would you come? Father, this is our first Sunday to meet this year. And Daddy, it's a privilege that we do have, that other nations don't have, to just freely come together. We don't have to worry about car bombs going off outside like happened in Egypt yesterday. Father, we thank you for the freedom that we have. And Father, we thank you. We claim this verse from Deuteronomy that you are going to be with us from the beginning of the year to the end, that you're going to be on our land. You're going to be in our city. And Father, the reason you're in our city is because you are in us. Friends, say that. You are in me. That's why God's in our city, is because he's in you. He's in believers. And I want you to think about, you can look at me, friends, for a second. Do you remember when God is ready to blow up the city of Sodom? Do you remember that story of Abraham? And Abraham says, would you spare the city if there's 50 righteous people there? How many of you are righteous? Okay, I am. I'm trying to be righteous. God said, for 50 people, I won't touch the city. And Abraham talked them all the way down to, I think it was 10. Or 8, was it 10? Sadly, Abraham knew that there weren't even 10. But for 10 righteous people, God was willing to spare a city. What would he do with several thousands, with tens of thousands of believers from all the different churches in our city? What's God's heart for our city when there's tens of thousands of righteous people? And the reason why God is in our city is because God's in us. I was just listening to the radio coming here this morning, and the city of Toronto for the fourth year in a row has had less murders than the year before, than the year before, than the year before. That's a good thing. It's a very good thing. It means God's presence is coming into our city. So close your eyes one more time. Holy Spirit, would you come? We're asking for your filling. We're asking for your indwelling. We're asking for your presence in us, on us, around us, everywhere we go, to be that salt and light. Everything that we do, to be full of favor and anointing. Spirit of God, would you come?
And Father, I thank you that even this week on Facebook with my sister-in-law, she works in Ottawa, and she works in the Parliament buildings. And she said that, you know, in the Peace Tower, right in the bell, there's a scripture. Right in the bell, there's scriptures all over the Parliament buildings. You just go on the internet and look at it. Just say, you know what? Canada is destined. This is God's country. And so, Father, we thank you that Canada is your country. Father, that you are the destiny of Canada, Father, and that you cause men from way, way back, Father, when they started creating this country, Lord, that they wrote your word, that they wrote your scriptures. And so, Father, we just declare you in the city of Toronto and the GTA and all of Canada that your name shall be glorified, that your name shall be honored in every way. And, Father, I pray that you would make us a righteous people, Lord, even as we come into this season, Lord. I pray that in areas in our lives, Father, where we would have slipped before, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would have a place that say, hey, no, that's not the way to go. But, Father, that we would be righteous children walking in a land that you've given us and provided for us. And, Father, we just give you glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Here's your homework. If you didn't get one of these, get one on your way out. Take it, put it on your refrigerator with a fridge magnet, or put it on your bathroom mirror and leave it there for the year. If it's too big, grab some of the little business cards that are out in the lobby. Take as many as you'd like. We've got thousands of them. If you'd like one of the t-shirts, you can get one of those as well in advance for when we're going to be doing some of these events. God bless you.